welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, which is your weekly wellness radio show brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. My name is Patricia Arevalo-Caro, and I'm your co-host. If you would like to listen to one of our shows or share a podcast, we would love to have you do that. Just go to kxoradio.com and go to the Let's Talk About It and Expressate links on the right-hand side of the page, and you can search for a show that's of interest to you. Our radio show calendars are also posted on our county website or on social media at the Imperial Valley Mall. And we would love to be able to share those with you. So if you'd like to have a copy of them, just let us know. And you can reach out to us at wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. And we'd be happy to send you a copy. Please feel free to share them with your friends and family. And we also would like to let you know that we have community service training courses that are available to you as a community service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. And if you would like to know more about this, you can reach out to us at 442-265-7442. With that said, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Alfonso Ruiz.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you. My name is Alfonso Ruiz, co-host here with Patricia Arevalo-Caro. And today I have the pleasure of introducing some of the members that we work with, some of our colleagues. Ernesto de la Rosa is a community service worker with the PET program, the Positive Engagement Team, which stands for PET. Monica Hernandez, another community service worker that's out here engaging the community. Brooke Hester, she's our PET handler, who brought Baguette, a very special guest with us. Baguette is a French bulldog, and he may steal the show today for all of you that are listening. So we're very excited to hear more about the Positive Engagement Team, PET, to hear about what it stands for, what they're doing out in the community, how our dogs are engaging every individual in the community that they come across from or with. So I'm going to turn it back over to our host, Patricia, and she'll take it from here.
So thank you, Alfonso. And, you know, it is so nice to have you guys here with us today, because a lot of times we see you guys out in the community, but we don't really know you guys. We don't know our community service workers. So this gives us an opportunity to tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you came to do community service work here at Behavioral Health. So either Ernesto or Monica, whichever one of you would like to start, and then we'll go to Brooke.
Good afternoon. I'm Monica Hernandez. I'm one of the CSWs for the PET program. I came to Behavioral Health. I started as in transport, and then from transport, I moved forward to SUD adolescence. And then from there, I joined the PET program about almost a year ago. And I like what I'm doing as a CSW. I love going out into the public and talking about what services we provide, so that people can interact with our doggies and see the way we work with our doggies and what type of doggies we work with, because all our dogs are actually rescue dogs. So that's basically how I started in Behavioral Health. And now I'm still going for the PET program, and I love it.
Ernesto?
Yes, hello. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having us. So my name is Ernesto. I'm also a community service worker. And just like Monica, I do have a good amount of experience here too in Behavioral Health. So I did start actually straight out of high school. Actually, I went from starting at purchasing, doing the mail run. So I was the mail guy working here and there. Went from transportation, also where I also met Monica, which is really cool. Went to the wellness center, then worked in fiscal. So I was able to get a lot of experience working with clients and then also working in the business side of things. And through that whole experience, experience, honestly, something that I really have always wanted to do. I just love socializing with people. Like, I just love talking about mental health. I really love the job. So whenever I notice that there's a community service position, I'm like, I really want to do that so bad. You know, that would be so awesome to be able to engage with the community, talk to people about what we offer. And as soon as I was able to come as a community service for the PET program, I won two times that day because, one, I was able to do what I love. And just as Monica said, we get to work with all the amazing dogs that we work with. So we did get to work in collaboration with the Humane Society. And honestly, it's just a blessing to be able to promote mental health and promote the shelter.
Brooke?
Hi. So I am a pet handler and I am pretty new to the program. This is my third month, but growing up, I've always had a passion working with animals. I knew it was something that I always wanted to do. And I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to do this. And I actually found the job on a Facebook post that Devin Opadaco, the director of the Humane Society, put up asking for extra handlers. So I applied for the position, you know, interviewed, and luckily enough, I got the job and I love it. I love working with Baguette, and I also work with another dog, Ricky Bobby, who's a Weimaraner. And it's just a good experience because every dog has different personalities and they're just like people. And I like to see how they interact in the community and how they interact with other people. Yeah, I just really enjoy it.
That's great. Thank you. So, you know, PET, we hear positive engagement team. We hear that a lot. But what is PET? How did PET come to be?
So when it comes with the positive engagement team, so it's been here a lot longer than a lot of us have been here, but I know that it did start as a project. So for example, you know, Behavioral Health wanted to work with the Humane Society just to create a project just to kind of utilize emotional support dogs just for our clients. Because I know a lot of times our clients, before they're going to see their therapists, they're going to see their clinicians, their case managers, maybe they come in for medication support. Sometimes, you know, mental health is a very sensitive topic sometimes to some people. And I know that sometimes maybe like the kids, for example, they might feel a little stressed or anxious before coming in for an appointment. So just having a dog there as emotional support for them, it's just, it makes them super happy. You know, just that initial response, you know, when a kid sees a dog, like, oh my gosh, it gets you so happy, makes you feel like, you know what, all the stress is gone. So that's kind of the message that we wanted to bring into behavioral health with it. And so after that, you know, it's been going very smoothly. And I believe it was in 2019, actually, where we finally got approved to become an actual program within behavioral health services.
Wow, it's been a while. And it's really evolved since then. I mean, I remember, you know, when it started, and it's really grown, and we're really happy to have all you guys, you know, because you guys go out there into the community, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, would you like to like just name some of the places that you guys have been to recently? I mean, I know there's a bunch, but.
Well, all the places we go to, we go either to probation, we go to elementary schools, which would be T.L. Wagner, McCabe. We barely started going into McCabe, which is a good thing for us. We also started going into Del Rio, which is like a continuation school. So we started working with them. We also go to basically different agencies. We go to clinics in behavioral health and outside of behavioral health. We do events in the community where we do Imperial Market Nights. We do the parades. Every little event that we can get our hands into, we'll do it.
And I know that you guys have gone out to the Betty Jo Receiving Home, which is a really good thing, and also Juvenile Hall. You mentioned probation, so Juvenile Hall. And so, you know, our staff and our pets and pet handlers go out there, which is, you know, really nice, because sometimes there's situations out there where just petting a dog can release a lot of stress and anxiety, which is, you know, a really good thing. And, you know, you guys have also, even during COVID, you know, the dogs were there and they were available, and some of the dogs were even on Zoom. When the clinicians and stuff were doing their intakes, the dogs were there along with the handler, of course. And but yeah, we had the dogs on Zoom way back when. And so that's really cool, because like you said, it really does help relieve some stress and anxiety with a person walking in the door. And what better thing to greet you than a dog just kind of happy and wagging its tail and stuff like that. It's so nice to see that in, you know, when you walk in for your doctor's appointment or your nurse's appointment or your clinician appointment. So yeah, that's really cool. So you guys mentioned that the Humane Society, how do we get the dogs from the Humane Society?
Okay, so the way it works is, so we work in collaboration with the Humane Society. So we have a lot of people, just like Brooke was saying, we have Devin Apodaca, that's the director, that really helps us a lot with, you know, picking out which dogs can be suitable for the pet program, which dogs can go, you know, can be screened so they can come into the program. Because something that we want to do is we always want to get a dog out of the shelter, because the same way is, which we can go into it a little bit later and whenever we do our little talk, is about mental health stigma. And something that we want to promote is mental health stigma, but at the same time, we also want to promote the stigma that comes with shelter dogs. So the reason why we work with the Humane Society and we pick these dogs is because these dogs have also gone through their own things. Maybe they're surrenders, maybe animal control has found them. And a lot of people are quick to, you know, say, oh, that's a shelter dog, this and this and that. So it's good kind of to show, like, you know what, this dog has gone through training, is working within behavioral health services, is becoming literally a little celebrity out here, you know, doing all the different places. Just like Monica was talking about, we literally go everywhere with our dogs. So as soon as they see us with our dogs, they remember them. And as soon as they remember them, we tell them it's from the Humane Society. So it helps them out so much too. Because the Humane Society needs a lot of assistance, a lot of help. And this program really helps them out because it gets a dog out of the shelter. And not only that, it's 100% adoption rate because all of the dogs that actually work with us, they all come from the Humane Society. So once they work with us for 6 months, they're actually available to be adopted out to the general public. So anyone that forms some sort of connection, forms some sort of like love for our dogs, they're able to adopt them after they work with us. So that's something beautiful about our program, that we're not only helping mental health, you know, in general, but we're also helping the Humane Society get dogs out of the shelter into forever homes too.
And that's really awesome, because I mean, I speaking for myself, and I'm gonna put my two cents in. I adopted one of the first dogs. Her name is Betty, and she's a Labradoodle. And she was on Zoom. She was one of the first pet dogs, one of the first pet dogs, and she was on Zoom and everything else. Which, you know, she's just a beautiful dog. And you know, every time I see Devin, I always thank him for allowing my family to adopt. You know, we have other dogs from the Humane Society too. So, you know, I always thank him. Thank you for giving us our fur babies because they bring us a world of joy. So that's enough for my two cents and my soapbox for that. But so we want to hear a little bit about you guys. I mean, what made you start to want to do this? What made you want to come work? You know, I know that you guys have history here at Behavioral Health. But what makes you guys want to do this every single day? I mean, what drives you?
Basically, just interacting with different people, letting them know how we work in behavioral health, the things that we do to go out to the community and talk about the services that we provide in behavioral health. That's basically the drive that we wake up every morning just to be ready to see what type of interaction we're going to have with the student, with an adult, with the child, it depending on the situation we're in. But that's our drive. That's basically our drive, and especially our doggies. That's mostly most of our drive because those dogs, they're with us mostly 7 days a week, which is Monday through Friday, usually on Saturdays when we have events on Saturdays. But that's our drive. Our doggies are our drive.
Yeah, just to add a little bit to what Monica's saying is, like, yeah, it's just the dogs themselves, you know, we form an attachment with them as much as we, you know, that people don't like see that we're always with them every single day. You know, that people see us and they're like, where's the dog at? You know, they already know when they see us because it's something like they're literally by our sides with the pet handler. Like Brooke, for example, we're with them all the time. So we just form a little connection. We are a really good team all working together. And just another thing to add to Monica is, like, also when we're doing all these events, it's really awesome because there's so many people that don't know about behavioral health services. You know, they don't know what we do. They don't know what these services are. Some people, when they find out that we have our emotional support dogs, they never even knew that, even though they've been going to behavioral health for years. So that's something that's really cool. But another thing that I think is one of the most important things about what we do is when we're doing outreach, there's so many people that are kind of hesitant to come to our booth because they're scared of how other people are going to perceive them. You know, they think that, oh, if I go to the behavioral health booth, people are going to think this. They're going to think I'm trying to get services. But when we have our dogs there, it changes the whole perspective. It changes it. So, for example, a high school kid, we had an ex there was an experience one where a high school kid once told me, you know what, it felt good that the dog was there because I could go over there, pet the dog to make it seem that way. But while I was there, I was able to ask you guys questions. I was able to reach out for services. I was able to ask what it is that you guys offer. And not only that, like me, Monica, and our other CSWs that work with the pet program, we always carry our referrals. We always have our phone, like the company phone with us. So that way, if anyone needs to make an appointment, if anyone needs to schedule an appointment, if anyone just wants to figure out how to start everything, that's what we do it for too. Just so that way we can get people to come to the services. We're trying to teach them that you don't have to be a mental health professional. You don't have to be licensed. Like anybody could ask for help. Is what we're trying to do. And I think that's what really drives us a lot.
And you guys do a really good job of it too. So, you know, we talked about having the dogs out into the communities and stuff like that. And I know, and I've seen you guys, both of you, do presentations. And you guys are awesome. And, you know, I've seen Ernesto speak at World Mental Health Day along with Monica too. And so if somebody wanted like you guys to do something like that, can somebody just, you know, anybody from the public, like any agency call and say, hey, can you guys do a presentation for our agency or our organization?
Yeah, anybody is welcome to contact us in order for us to do a presentation or even to have a resource table set up. All we ask is just, for example, like since we're so busy because a lot of people want to like have us for presentations, for resource tables, all we ask is you could always contact Behavioral Health Services and get in contact with the PET program. From there, you could ask, you know what, I want a presentation on Behavioral Health Services, on mental health stigma, on the PET program itself. We could do any presentations. All we ask is just a little bit of a heads up in advance, because like I said, we do get really busy, but we're always welcome to it. As long as we could spread the word and give the information to people, anyone is welcome to ask us to come out to either the schools, their businesses, or if it's for a presentation, just like World Mental Health Day. Just the littlest things that we would just love to do a presentation just to put the word out about behavioral health services and humane society.
Monica, do you have anything to add?
Well, I think Ernesto covered it pretty well.
Yeah, I thought I saw you nodding your head. So, Brooke, how did you start wanting to do this? And granted, you said that, you know, you saw an ad and Devin asked you to join his crew or his staff. But, you know, it's something you go out with our staff every day. So how do you feel about this?
You know what? I enjoy it a lot because, you know, when these dogs first start this program, a lot of them are very shy, a little timid, you know, keep to themselves. And to just see the gradual change as we take them out to more and more places, or if they see familiar faces, you know, just to see their personality come out and to see them finally get comfortable and, you know, want to go up to people, it really just warms my heart because, you know, it reminds me that I'm doing a good thing. Because a lot of these shelter dogs, you know, are to themselves with other dogs for months at a time, so they don't see any human interaction. So to see them, you know, gradually get more comfortable and want to go up to people and to just see how much happiness they bring to the community really warms my heart. And it just makes me realize like, okay, like I picked the right job, and I just enjoy seeing that a lot.
You know, I wanted to mention something a little bit more on that. I'm happy that we're talking about the dogs, and I'm hearing a lot of what the dogs have gone through as well. And I can imagine that there is a process that they probably have to go through in order to get ready to start making contact with the community. Can you guys talk to us a little bit about, you know, how the dogs get ready for their first day of, you know, just making contact with the community in general? What's some of the training that they go through?
Oh, so obviously they get picked by Devin and then they go to a trainer for a month and a half, and they will learn five basic commands, which is sit, down, stay, come, and heal. And with those commands, you can teach a dog to slowly, you know, go say hi to someone, or if someone's a little bit nervous and they, you know, want to go up to the dog themselves, you can keep them in a sit and heal and have them pet them. And, you know, just honestly, it's a lot of patience, a lot of consistency, and a little bit of discipline on both parts just to make sure that the dog and the person is comfortable with the situation and the environment that they're in.
Amazing. You know, I've had the pleasure of seeing some of the dogs come through our clinics here at the Children and Adolescent Service Clinics. And I've seen how the children just light up, not only the children, but their parents. And it really brings a calm to the environment. What I'm amazed of is just how well behaved the dogs are, because, you know, children, sometimes they don't know boundaries, right? And they feel free to just get on the dog or you know, pet them maybe a little bit briskly. How do you guys kind of engage or gauge how comfortable your dogs are feeling with the community. And what are some of the precautions that you guys take? I can imagine maybe not everyone in the community, you know, is open to touching the dog. So what are some of those steps that you guys take?
Well, some of the precautions we do take, like, for example, every time, no matter what, like, clinic we visit within behavioral health services, if we do presentations and we're at different schools, the first thing we'll always ask is anyone afraid of dogs or is anyone allergic to dogs? And the only always what we always want to have our dogs, which Brooke does a really good job of, she could also explain it a little bit, is we always make sure our dogs are always with us. And we ask people, if you guys want to pet the dog, you know, we'll ask. So, for example, we'll be in the clinic, so we'll be like, oh, this is so-and-so. He's one of our emotional support dogs that works with behavioral health services. You are free to pet him or her whenever you'd like. So we'll kind of give them that kind of like warning, like, oh, this dog does work here. So just to let you know, but there are people that might be allergic or might be scared. So we always have to take precaution just in case, that we always have to ask.
And the dogs, they're 8 to 5ers kind of thing, or in the evenings, or, you know, they do weekends. And so it's one of you guys, when either Ernesto, Monica, or the other staff that are community service workers goes along with, the handler goes along with the community service worker. Mm-hmm. And so you guys go together and do your events, or how does that work?
Yeah, we all go together. We do our events. So, like, for example, we have very long trips sometimes because we go everywhere in the whole county. So, you know, sometimes we'll be here locally, you know, central, but then the next day we'll go to Brawley, we'll go to San Pascual. We recently went to Palo Verde. So it's like when we have those big trips, we do it like, okay, let's all load up and let's just all go over there together. So that way we're all together when we go to the events.
And at the end of the day, where do the dogs go?
So every handler gets a dog, and it's kind of like, I like to think of it as like a foster situation. So the handler keeps the dog for 6 months. You know, they stay with them full time, 24/7. They come home with us, eat with us, live with us, sleep with us. And, you know, they're basically like our personal babies until they find somebody or somebody finds them in the community that makes a personal connection to them. And then after their 6 months, they are up for adoption. But yeah, the dogs do stay with us. So after their shift's over, me and whichever dog that I have will go home with me.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, you really do develop an attachment and to the dog, because they're with you for 6 months. And, you know, you see Ernesto, you see Monica, you see the other community service workers. So I can just imagine the attachment that you guys get to these little fur babies, you know, so you're with them every single day of your working days. And sometimes, like Ernesto said earlier, that can be 6-7 days. And so that gets to, you get an attachment. I mean, how can you not get an attachment to these beautiful little animals? And today we have, like Alfonso mentioned earlier, we have Baguette, who's a French bulldog, and we showed a picture of him. So, you know, be watching for videos and promotional stuff that we'll be doing with the dogs in the coming months, or while we have them for the 6 months. So with that said, what I think we'll do is we'll take a brief commercial break, and we will be back in just a few minutes with Alfonso and Brooke and Monica and Ernesto and the rest of the crew. See you right back here.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our radio show for today. We left off with Ernesto de la Rosa, Monica Hernandez, community service workers here with Imperial County Behavioral Health, Brooke Hester, our pet handler, and our special guest as well is Baguette, our French bulldog. And we've been talking about the positive engagement team today. We've been learning a lot about, you know, this wonderful program that engages our community. And, you know, something that we really want to touch up on, guys, today is some of the goals of the program. You know, I know that this started as a stigma reduction program, and we really want to hear more from you guys. about how this pet program is helping reduce stigma in our community and some of your experiences.
The way that we're trying to reduce the stigma is by telling people not to be afraid to reach out in case they're having any mental issues, anything like that. For them to feel comfortable to come to us and be like, you know what, I need services on this and this and this situation. And we'll try to coordinate with them to set up an appointment so that they can get an evaluation and then from there go forward with in case they need medication, anything like that. Also, briefly talking about if adolescents, usually adolescents are more afraid to reach out to us because people technically they're afraid when they hear behavioral health, they think, oh, it's mental health. We don't want any association with mental health. But it's not that. It's just breaking it and telling them, you know what? Behavioral health is not just mental health. It's trying to make you feel comfortable and be comfortable in your own skin. We're breaking that stigma by breaking every stereotype that they have based on, let's say, things that they see on the internet or any situation that they're involved in, that sometimes people think that because the way that they're raised, the way their ethnicities are, they're afraid of saying, okay, I want services. And we're trying to break that, basically. I don't know if Ernesto can say a little bit more about it. But
yeah, no, Monica did a really great job just explaining it. Yeah, it's just there's so many different aspects of stigma within mental health that needs to be like broken down, just talked about. Because, you know, one person, like, for example, us that have been in the whole mental health field for so many years, we fully understand it. We're fully educated in it. But there's so many people that don't know what stigma even means. They don't know what mental health means. They don't know the extent. Like someone that has mental health, it's always important to know about them. Be educated on what they're going through, you know, ask if they need assistance or maybe ask if they need someone, you know, it's just very important just for us to put the word out just to let them know, you know, there's these services are available to you at any time. You know, there's so many people that come up to us in the table and they're like, you know, I don't know about behavioral health. You know, I don't really want to. I'm like, okay, that's totally fine. But just want to let you know, these services are here for you at any time. And if you ever need more explanation on these services, you could always come to us and we could always, you know, we'll always be happy to explain it to you.
I think changing the public perception of mental illness, it's a big undertaking, you know, and I think the work that you guys are doing in the community is of great merit. And we thank you for that and for our pet handlers and our pets as well. You know, something that I really caught my eye earlier when we were talking is that you guys are ready. When you're there, you're carrying, you know, even a phone with you because the perfect time could be now, right? It could be today. And Ernesto, you were sharing with us earlier of a story where, you know, an adolescent approached you guys because you were, you know, doing an outreach at a school and you guys had the pet with you. And they felt, from what I heard, safe approaching you because they were able to somewhat, you know, demonstrate that they were petting the dog. But at the same time, they took the opportunity to ask some of these questions of like, hey, you know, how do I get services? Where do I call? What does that look like? You guys do this day in and day out, you know. Share with us, if you can, some of the success stories that you where you've encountered, you know, some of these barriers being broken.
Yeah, so some of the stories, so just that one is a really good explanation, you know, about like how we're there in the high school that many people might not think no one's going to come up to us, but it just takes one. It takes one person just to like make a change, right? And something that happens a lot is it has happened where, for example, someone that we meet might start services just because they met us and they found out about the pet program. So, for example, I know we were talking earlier how we do visit behavioral health clinics a lot. So one of the great like advantages of having the pet program behavioral health is, for example, if there's any kids, adolescents or adults that might feel like anxious or nervous when they're attending their clinics, they could actually request the dog to be there at their appointment. And the reason why I bring that up is it's a really cool incentive for the kids, like maybe they're feeling stressed out or anxious. But it's really cool because there's this story where there's this, you know, we had this kid that was attending services and every single appointment they would request for the dog to be there. Every single appointment. And it was the same exact dog. They had a favorite, which is totally fine. They could request the favorite. And that was going on for months. And that just shows like how cool that this one little incentive, just having the dog there, encourages the client to come to the services, right? And it's a beautiful thing because actually the cool thing about that is, like I mentioned before, these dogs are available for adoption after 6 months. So that same client requested to adopt that dog too. So that just helped out in two ways. One, it helped them receive their services. Two, it got the dog, you know, to have an emotional connection with someone. And number three, now we have a full like new family right there because that whole experience just caused them for the dog to have a forever family with this client. And the client now to this day still loves to have that dog with them for their emotional support because having the dog there just increases their mental health. It really helps out. So it's just like the littlest things like that is what really helps out with this program. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That's an amazing story. And, you know, it sounds like a bond was formed there for life, you know, and this individual, this child that you're mentioning was able to stay connected to services, you know, seek treatment. And ultimately, he made a friend, he or she, right? Made a friend for life. So that's an awesome story of how, you know, change is happening. Earlier, we were talking about the populations that you guys engage with. You know, some of the populations could be more challenging than others. You know, you guys are talking about going to probation, going to the jails as well. You know, how well received are the services with these populations? Are you seeing that, you know, they're equally as excited to make contact with PET and hear about our services? Can you tell us more about that?
Well, the interaction that we have when we go into, let's say, juvenile hall, the kids are fully in love with our dogs. They love having them there. You can tell that that's one way of breaking the stigma with them because they're there to at least have a little moment of excitement seeing our dogs and interacting with them, which that's the thing that we love about our job, that we see those kids enjoying them and having the time that they have with them. That sometimes they even tell us, oh, when we leave this place, we're going to go and adopt your dogs. And we're like, okay, they'll be available certain amount of time. Like, they'll be available in 6 months if you want to adopt them. And they're like, yeah, I really do. I really do. So that's what we love about it. We love going there. And especially if it could be juvenile hall, it could be even an elementary. Like, we love to see that interaction with every child, every adult, every, let's say, adolescent. We love that.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for sharing that. you mentioned about, you know, these dogs being able to be present for the appointments. What's the process for that? If I'm looking to get services or I'm already getting services and I listen to this radio show, the great presentation that you guys are putting on, what should I do next? How can I request one of the dogs? And how do I even know like what they look like? Who's available? I mean, we know, for example, Baguette, he's a French bulldog. But I'm sure that you have dogs from all walks of life, you know, large and small. So how can I get more familiar with them?
So a really good way to do it. So if you ever, like, if you are a client currently within Behavioral Health Services, you always are able to request our dogs to be at appointments. The only way you would do it, so whoever your front desk staff is, so for example, whatever clinic you are attending, you would go to your front desk staff, and the day you make your appointment, that exact time, you let them know, you know what, I would really love to request the PET program to be at this appointment. So we work with the clerical with each and every clinic just to kind of make a schedule of an exact date just in advance. So that way, by the time the appointment comes up for whichever client, that's when we could have the dog there and it could be present. And in order for everybody to have the choice of what dog they want, in every clinic, we always try to update and make little flyers with our dogs and everything just to explain what the PET program is and all the different dogs there. So for example, there's a kid that wants to request the dog to be at their appointment. He could ask the front desk, oh, I want the dog to be at my appointment for my therapist, for my doctor. And then right there in the corner, they have all the pictures where they'll be like, okay, which one do you want me to request? And from right there, that's where they could choose, oh, I want, for example, Baguette to come to my appointment. And we're like, okay, sounds good. We'll figure out Baguette's available for that time, and then we'll request it from there.
Awesome. All right. So anybody that's coming to Behavioral Health to get treatment, you know, any one of us can go ahead and request at our clinic. That's awesome. I'm happy that you guys mentioned that. And to know that, you know, they're available to be present.
Just one of the things that you guys are doing to really reach out and help the community, because that's awesome. I didn't even know that myself.
We mentioned about the, you know, if we're already getting treatment, if somebody's already getting treatment, But what if it's my first call? My very first call, I met you guys out in the community. Maybe I didn't call in the moment, but I called later because you gave me the resources. And I remembered there's pet, you know, there's a dog that can be present. Can I request that for my very first call and try to see if a pet could be there for my first appointment?
Yes, you actually can. So for example, whenever that does happen, then you would call in. For example, there has been times where the pet program has been there for their initial intake assessments. So maybe before, whenever their services actually start, before they're even placed to a certain program, they could actually request that as soon as they give a call to make an appointment for intake. So that way, maybe before they go in, the dog can be there so they could hang out with them. They could de-stress because it is their first time receiving services. So it could be a lot. It could be a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. And it's normal, you know, just it's the first thing for everything. So you can do it from the initial request. You could just say, you know what, I requested services, and the people that referred me was the pet program. So from there, they could say, oh yeah, now that since I did get requested to like come in for an intake, you think I could get the pet program to be there? And as long as whoever's going to be doing the intake assessment with them, whether it's a clinician, a case manager, they could actually reach out to us, and we can plan that also. So yeah, we could also do it in initial as well.
Okay, great, thank you. Well, you know, we've been doing a lot of talking about, you know, stigma reduction, and we do see the benefits of, you know, the engagement in the community with our pet program. You mentioned earlier that, you know, these dogs are with you guys for 6 months, and after 6 months, they go through the adoption process. And it's from what I heard earlier, that had a 100% success rate so far of these dogs finding their forever homes as well. And I think that's a perfect way to, you know, take a brief pause to kind of reflect on everything that we've talked about right now. And, you know, when we return, we're going to finish up with our third segment of the show. Let's talk about it. Thank you guys for your time. And we'll be back shortly with Ernesto, Monica, Brooke, and Baguette.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, Imperial Valley, and thank you for joining us for our third segment of Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio show, brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health. And today we're talking with Ernesto de la Rosa and Monica Hernandez, who are both the community service workers for the Positive Engagement Team, or PET, program with the Children's Program at Imperial County Behavioral Health, and Brooke Hester, who is an employee of the Humane Society, but works as a pet handler for the doggies that we use or employ or have come and give greetings to people in all different areas. So, you know, Brooke, one thing that we were talking about during the break, and we kind of really want, you know, the people here in the Imperial Valley to know, or anybody who's listening to us, is, you know, once the dogs have work their 6 months, what happens then? If I like Baguette, how would I go about trying to adopt Baguette?
So like you had mentioned, after the 6 months, it's usually the first of the month at midnight, you would email Devin Apodaca, the director of the Humane Society, saying what dog you're interested in, where you met the dog, what kind of connection you formed with the dog. And basically, they have just a few questions to ask. They'll ask if you live in like an apartment, if you live in a home, you know, the dog itself is an inside dog, because when they go through this training, they are kennel trained and potty trained. So, you know, we're hoping that the whatever owner the dog ends up with will keep them inside. And basically just, and then they'll do like a little meet and greet. And if they have other animals themselves, or if kids, you know, they'll introduce the kids to the animals and see how our dog that we're working with interacts with theirs and just hopes that it's a good connection. So yeah, you would just email Devin on their adoption day, and then he would kind of get back to you with any information that he would need from them.
Yeah, and the dogs, are they vaccinated or are they... You know.
Yes. So all the dogs are microchipped, vaccinated, spayed or neutered. And yeah, so they come with all that, so you won't have to worry about it. And then also they do come trained. So sorry, I'm getting nervous.
The training alone is a godsend, because sometimes, you know, we've all adopted animals as babies and had to go through the training. So, you know, once the dog has the training, it's awesome. And any kind of tips and tricks you would give to somebody that is wanting to adopt either one of our pet program dogs, because like Ernesto had mentioned earlier, you know, this is, you know, a way that some of these shelter dogs get out and get exposed and help themselves get adopted. Because, you know, some of these dogs, unfortunately, have been in the shelter for a while. And so, you know, anything that you would like to, you know, anything that could help a person adopt a dog or?
Basically, just be sorry, can you rephrase the question? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So, you know, if I want to adopt a dog from the Humane Society, what are some of the things that I should do or some of the things that I could do to maybe help speed up the adoption or to make the adoption process go easier? Like, you know, have the letter from the landlord in case I'm a tenant in an apartment or, you know, those kind of things. What would help the adoption process go a little bit faster and smoother?
I would say just be as personable as possible. A lot of the times if we do meet somebody who's interested in a dog, we always say, you know, feel free to take a picture of them, you know, talk about your experience with the dog, why you think this dog has such a special connection with you. And obvious, and I would say to speed it up would, you know, if they're staying in a permanent home or if they stay in an apartment, just to contact the landlord and just make sure, like, is it okay if I brought this dog with me? Because, you know, some apartments, you know, depending on the size of the dog, you know, really matters whether they could stay there or not. You know, the dogs that they have, if they're friendly with other dogs, that'll help. So also mentioning, you know, I always tell people with the dog I'm working with, Ricky Bobby, you know, he loves other animals. Like, he thrives and you can really see his personality. So I always tell them, you know, if you have one, that'll make the transition so much better for him and for you.
That's really great information, because, you know, a lot of times people go in and they want to adopt an animal, and there is certain criteria that they have to meet, because they want these to be successful adoptions.
Yes.
And, you know, we want the animal to be able to stay, because we don't want the animal to, you know, go back to the shelter, because they're already full enough as it is. So, and again, you can tell my prejudice towards, you know, adoption and rescue dogs and stuff like that. And I'm sorry for letting that overshadow this conversation. But, you know, it's really important that everybody's a good fit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that the dog fits your family and fits your other doggies too, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that everybody gets along and stuff like that. So that's really awesome to hear. And that, you know, they go through this training and, you know, just the fact that they're potty trained already. You know, I don't know how many people out there have tried to potty train a dog, and sometimes it can be a challenge. So these dogs are fully trained, fully vetted. You know, they also get vet appointments, don't they? When and grooming and when they get adopted.
Oh, yes. So while we have the dog, you know, every month I try to take my dog to the groomer, you know, just for the basic nail trim, wash, you know, cleaning of the ears. And, you know, sometimes, because as all dogs, they like to get dirty. You know, they like to roll around in dirt. They like to play, you know, so I try to bathe my dog, you know, maybe like every 2 weeks before the grooming appointment, just to make sure, you know, when he does do these visits, you know, he's looking the best that he can look, and just so that, you know, more people want to approach him because, you know, he smells good or he looks nice and stuff. And, you know, also the food that I feed him, you know, because some dogs, you know, have allergies and you have to add, you know, supplements. And so I try to make sure to do that too. So his coat looks the best and, you know, and he looks the healthiest that he can look.
And then the other thing is that, and then I speak from personal experience, is that when we adopted Betty and our other dogs, is that when the Humane Society gives you a free grooming at the adoption, after you've adopted the pet or the animal, and a free grooming. And they also, what else was I going to say? They also, give you, not advice, but, you know, the animal is fully vaccinated, like you mentioned earlier. So that saves a little bit. And the animal also gets a free vet visit after they are adopted. So that really helps too, because, you want to make sure. And then plus establishing your pet at a doctor, just like you would establish your child at a doctor, same kind of thing. And so that's a wonderful thing that they do to help with the animals with the adoption process. So that's really awesome.
I'm hearing how well you take care of your dogs. You know, self-care is so important. And you know, it seems like they're embodying something that I've thought of, you know, ever since I was much younger than I am right now, but kind of goes along the lines of look good, smell good, you're good, right? So it sounds like our dogs are definitely embodying that. They're coming in fresh, looking good, extra approachable. You know, that's what it's about. We want everybody to come and pet our dogs and you know, feel comfortable. When it comes to self-care, you know, just when we were talking offline, it was really great to hear that that's also extended not only to the members of our community, but to the service providers here at Behavior Health, our colleagues that we work with. I really want to hear more about that, because I think it's such a great way to integrate the pet program within, you know, the agency as well, because we do provide a lot of assistance to the community. And in order to help others, a lot of times we need to help ourselves, and we need to be the best version of ourselves to provide the best service. So tell us a little bit about how you support that with the pet program.
So one way that we do it for the staff members is for the longest time, since I've been here with the pet program, we've only always visited, you know, clients, did presentations, did our resource tables. Until one day we thought to ourselves, you know, what about staff members? Because we see staff members right there on the window in the front desk. Oh my gosh, look at the dog. Like, they get so excited that it's so funny. You know, it's so awesome to see that even they get really excited, because they could be the biggest animal lovers too. So I remember that when we were first having meetings for our program, we would talk, you know what, and like, I know we're doing a lot of outreach, we're doing a lot of this, but when we have some available time, why don't we just visit our staff members? We have so many there's so many behavioral health clinics that there are. We could visit every staff member, and that'd be the whole day. That's how much clinics we have and that many employees we have. And just to see their faces, because the same thing, like clients, our staff members go through a lot of workloads. They do a lot for us. You know, they always advocate a lot for their clients too. They do so much work. So it's good to give them that little incentive to just dedicate maybe an hour and a half of our day just to go make a little visit, go around all their offices. And honestly, it's really awesome to see how it makes their day. Like, for example, sometimes they'll come up to us, I'm like, okay, like, usually we'll be like, okay, usually on Wednesdays we're free at that time. So we'll go visit on Wednesday this day. And then we go every Wednesday all the time. We don't go one Wednesday. They're like, why didn't you guys come? You guys are usually here. So, you know, it comes back to us like, wait, you guys, it's a regular thing, right? So just that little thing is really cool, because it just shows how much they love it and appreciate it. Like, they really are genuinely, like, thankful for that, just for us bringing our dogs just so they could see them.
I appreciate everything that you guys are doing. You know, the self-care component it's real, right? We need to take care of ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, before we can, you know, help take care of others and help others be the best version of themselves, we have to do that for us as well. You know, before we end our show, we're talking about, you know, how well the dogs are taken care of and, you know, how we're engaging the community. We're reducing stigma, or attempting to reduce stigma, you know, really feeling comfortable in our own skin, seeking help if we need it. How much is the adoption? I don't know that we asked. And I think that's an important component, because we want our pets to have forever homes. And for those members of our community or colleagues that we work with, you know, how much would an adoption cost?
So the adoption would cost $500 because, as you know, our dogs are trained. So basically, if they go out from not through the pet program, the adoption fee for that dog would be $2,500. But with the pet program, it would be $500 because they are trained. They're kennel trained. They're trained in obedience command. So that's basically a win-win in the situation because they can see that it's not that expensive as going from out of a third party. Let's say I'll adopt it from, let's say, another agency. It'll be a little bit more expensive. This one is a little bit more, much more cheaper. That people, they say, oh, $500, that's a lot of money. But they have to see that they are trained. They go through their training for, let's say, a month. So that's basically the reason why.
With everything that the dogs go through, training and chipping and vaccination and, you know, neutered or spayed, it is a great incentive. And I think the price is reasonable because, you know, we really want to find a forever home for these dogs. We're almost at the end of our show. Would you guys happen to know how many dogs have been adopted successfully?
Ooh, that's a lot. We've actually, since starting here, one thing that, you know, just the attachment that we get for these dogs, I'm like, oh, I remember my first batch of dogs that we had, you know, so I think if I'm correct, we've gone over maybe, since we started from 2019, like we were talking before, so it's been a lot. I think it's more than 20 dogs now.
Amazing.
It's half a year for every dog. And it's awesome because, I mean, sometimes the gift that we get a lot is we are still connected to these families. So they give us like updates. And sometimes these dogs are living way better lives than we are right now, which I'm like, okay, they're doing just fine. They're doing just fine. They're enjoying their retirement. And another thing I wanted to mention too, when we were talking about the dogs, about the training and everything of like the price, I just want to mention really quick that training is for a lifetime. So if at any time you want to retrain your dog, it's totally free. It comes with the dog at all times.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Patricia's going to head us off for the day.
So we really want to thank all of you for joining us today, from Monica Hernandez, Ernesto de la Rosa, Brooke Hester, Baguette, and my co-host, Alfonso Ruiz, and all the people that make this radio show happen. So thank you very much. And thank you, Imperial Valley and beyond, for joining us today for Let's Talk About It. See you soon.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.